Good morning. I am not Jody Dill. We don't know what happened to her. So I was asked to pinch hit. No script. There are actually two parts to how I became acquainted with Unitarian Universalism. I was a graduate student at the University of Chicago, and as I think most of you know, Meadville Lombard is right there. And they had the music minister from the church and from the seminary had a community choir, so that I joined it, loved it. And I was sitting next to a blind woman whose husband was in the seminary. So we would talk back and forth. I was kind of interested in what was this stuff called Unitarian Universalism, never really having heard of it before, knew nothing about it, as I was a fervent practicing Catholic at the time, verging on towards ecumenism, which I think was what eventually got me here. So I said, well, you know, I'd like to go to a sermon or a ceremony sometime, church service. So she said, okay, we'll take you. So she and the music minister took me to an evening, Wednesday night evening prayer service. And one of the songs that was chosen that night was virulent anti-Catholic. And I could see both of them, you know, on either side of me going like this, to see how I was reacting. It was really kind of funny in retrospect. It was a good experience. And then Al and I were married at the University of Chicago, and we eventually made our way to Hayward through San Francisco and San Jose, where we still are in the same house. We could talk to everybody. Everybody else has moved except for us. Well, how did I get to know Starr King? At that time, Starr King was doing some fundraising in the parking lot, having rummage sales. So I would come down to the rummage sales at Starr King to see if I could find anything for the kids and so forth and so on. And that was my first introduction. It wasn't until much, much later. I think Charlie might have been 7 or 8, something like that. I thought, well, you know, we really need to have something for these kids. By that time, I had left Catholicism long behind. And we started coming to the church. And I really, really enjoyed being here. I felt as if I had found my theological home at last. And one of my fondest memories was Mark Bellatini was having a Bible study before church on Sunday. And at that point in time, for various reasons, there was no RE for the age that Charlie was at the time. He was about 12. So I said, Mark, could Charlie join us for that? And he said, oh, sure, no problem. And he really enjoyed it. So did I. So thank you for being here. I'm glad I found you.
Good morning. I'm Ruth Smith. Well, how did we get here? Well, best way to explain it, a lot of people influenced me how I would become later a Unitarian Universalist. If you've ever seen a comic strip called Rose's Rose, the little boy, Pasquale, in his journeys, in his sleep, he has a spaceship. And I consider every stage of my life a spaceship of a journey of my life. Well, my original spaceship came from Fremont, California. We didn't have a white picket fence, just a typical family. Had the older brothers, I'll just put it this way. I was dubbed the sensible one. I wasn't exactly the youngest or the middle. We came from a Lucille Ball kind of family, you know, the yours, mine, and our kind of family. We weren't traditional. We were more theological. My mother was raised Catholic from her Mormon mother, and her great-great-grandfather, during his time anyway, he may have been considered a pagan, but you know who I'm talking about. My father was raised Lutheran. At some point, my sister was a Jehovah's Witness. But I won't get into that. Just from a boyfriend she had. Well, I eventually moved out when I was about 19 years old. My spaceship landed in Hayward. I lived right over by on Grubway, where the Bonsai Nursery is. He was a friend of the family. And then I eventually, spaceship ended over in San Lorenzo, and then back to Hayward with Kathleen Lamar, who was my roommate. Well, I was her roommate, I mean. I came to, it was circle dancing that brought me here, the Star King. Back in spring of 1996, they advertised it in the newspaper. It was like a Hayward Gumbo first-time festival, and it talked about dancing. And so that's where I met Mary Lasak, Eric Gable, Maureen Atkins, Stephanie Free, and Peter Bogdan, pretty much all, well, with the exception of Mary's the only one that's still here. But they were dancing, and it was like meeting my old college friends all over again because we all splintered after college. Now I have, and they said, well, I asked, well, where do you guys go? And they said, well, we go to Star King Church. And so I made my trek up here, and I fell in love with the place. And, of course, you know, Eric Gable had that get on his high horse. Look, you came up here because of me. No. In fact, it was Eric who introduced me to my now husband, Bill. It was upstairs when the playground used to be upstairs. And it's like, you have to picture this. This was 1996, not 1969, but 1996. Mm-hmm. Bill had the long brown hair look, full beard and mustache, and I'm going, okay. And that was that spaceship at that time. I also became really good friends with Mary Lasak. We were on various different committees together, social justice, South Hayward Parish. I even convinced her a couple of times, hey, Bill's in a rock band, let's go check him out. And so Ken Younger in Bill's band was going, hey, check out this girl. She's the other girl that you were dating doesn't come. Check out this girl. And I'm eventually, well, that spaceship comes later. Bill and I became fast friends, and we started singing with the kids. As the Wandering Minstrels, we're now, you know, a lot of you know now that we do music together. But we also joined the skit group that started by Bill Gaylord. And all the Bill Gaylord, and we also do skiffle from time to time. I'm sorry. I was looking right at him when I said that. I'm sorry, Bill Gaylord. Bill Schwab. I'm nervous. And I'm trying not to forget everything. Then the time that when Bill proposed to me outside on the front, a year later we were married by Katie. But when we made the announcement here, we stood up and we made the announcement we were getting married, you wouldn't believe the way hitting us back. It's about time. So I guess what makes everything so different or unique is that every different stage of my life, there was always something going on. My father passing, my mother passing. Everybody, I can't think of anyone here who hasn't influenced me. Bill and I don't have children. I have mosaic downs, and I carry it. So we married later in life. We consider all the kids here are our kids, and all you guys are brothers and sisters. So Bill and I, we've done the pagan service here. It started as a big group, but it got small. But we're thinking about starting up again, maybe in the fall. We've done several services here, even talent nights that we do every spring. I guess now the spaceship has landed right here in 2014. I'm one of the co-presidents and co-founders of the local pagan PFLAG in Hayward, and we're looking forward to next Saturday at the Castro Valley Pride, where Bill and I and Chuck will be singing. And I don't know what else to say, but what brought me here is It's been a long journey, and there's a lot more to go.
Oh, good. My glasses are still there. My story is a little unique. And I guess where to begin is when I was about 6 years old. My mother took us to a church called St. Paul's United Methodist Church. It's in downtown San Jose. And I would sit there with my mother, listening to the preacher, thinking to myself, this is absolutely boring. So every now and then, when the preacher would say something that left him wide open, and I would make a response, everybody laughed. Well, everybody but two people, the pastor and my mother. So they decided to put me in Sunday school. This was worse, because all the projects were geared towards children between 3 and 4. You know, I had no desire whatsoever to paste papers onto each other. So finally, for reasons that I don't know and I never asked, we stopped going to that church. And for a while, I was blissfully ignorant to the ways of religion. Now, along that line, I joined a order called the Order of De Molay, which, if you're a Mason, you've heard of it. If you aren't a Mason, it's a boys group for those between 13 and 21. Well, one of the things you can do is earn badges. And there was a badge available for religion. If you could go 52 straight weeks to the same church, you get the badge. Now, that posed a small problem, seeing as I didn't go to church at all. But when I was in high school, someone introduced me to this large Christian church outside of Los Gatos, aptly named Los Gatos Christian Church, you know, original. And as there were friends of mine there, I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. The worst happens, I won't make it. Well, I made it through the 12 months, got my badge, and stuck around for about 6 months after that. And that's when it began to bother me. And the part that bothered me most was this topic of conversion. You know, making a big deal out of somebody renouncing their old faith for the new proper Christian faith. This bothered me because basically what they were saying was, it's my way or the highway to hell. I see some of you have heard that too. See, that went against my core beliefs. My core beliefs are as follows. Number one, God is universal in both masculine and feminine. If you do the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, or our Mother who art in heaven, as far as I'm concerned, you're right either way. Okay. The second core belief is that God is greedy. He wants as many of us in heaven as possible. Now, I was really pleasantly surprised when Pope Francis said even atheists can go to heaven. I liked that, but I didn't like the church and what it was doing. So I stopped going. Now, when I got married to Kari, we got married in her church, which is Trinity Lutheran Church in Oakland. And I would go every now and then at Kari's request, but it wasn't really my church. It was like the Methodist church. It tended to be boring. And now it's boring and a little strange. For example, I took Kari to the Good Friday service last April. Inside the chapel, leaning on to the communion, whatever they call it, where you sit down and you take communion, was a big giant cross with two nails sticking out of it, one on each side. And what would happen is somebody would read a passage from the Bible, and then the minister would take a hammer and pound on the stakes. Until after the last sermon reading, she would pound on the stake and then drop the hammer and go into the rectory. Now, I'm known for being eccentric, but that's weird even on my part. My third core belief is that God is smarter than we are. He would recognize that mankind would have prejudices, and so he created religions that would help everybody. See, that was one of the things I thought was wrong with the other churches. I couldn't see God giving up on the Jews who he has succored for all those many decades. And I honestly believe that Jesus and Muhammad are the same person, seen by two different sets of eyes, one Arab and one Jewish. And I point as evidence to the fact that the location where Muhammad ascended into heaven and where Jesus ascended into heaven are less than a mile away from each other. Now, you may believe in coincidences. I don't. So those are my basic core beliefs. And I never found a church that would validate those core beliefs. They were always my way or the highway. So I was blissfully ignorant of religion once again. Until a friend of mine sent me a net quiz. Now, for those of you who don't know, net quiz is exactly that, quizzes on the internet. The most famous one they had was, which house would you be sorted in if you just went to Hogwarts? But they have hundreds of quizzes. Well, my friend Terry sent me an email with a link to a quiz called What Religion Are You? And I called Terry back and said, are you nuts? I'm not any religion. She says, well, it's for a research project. Please do it anyway and tell me what you get. I said, why? She says, please, please, please. And I said, finally, all right. Now, with most of those quizzes, if you want to select answer, you just click the right answers to the question. Problem was, I couldn't find any set answers to this quiz. This one was different. So it was 100 questions, and I went through them. It took me about an hour and a half, and I hit submit. It comes back with, congratulations, you're a Unitarian Universalist. My first thought was, great, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. My second thought was, what's a Unitarian Universalist? Well, the curiosity got the better of me. So onto Google I went, and I typed in Unitarian Universalist. And up popped the UU homepage. And I said, all right, why not? I clicked on the homepage, and it showed me its mission statement. It talked about social justice for everybody, regardless of age, creed, color, sexual orientation, whatever. I agree with that. So I read the next mission statement about equality for all, including transsexual and transgender. I agree with that, too. The more I read the mission statement, the more I liked it. And I thought to myself, could I actually have found a church? When I told Terry about this, she just laughed up a storm. So I clicked on locate and it typed in my zip code, and it showed me to this little church in Hayward called Star King. So I came to a meeting. Back then there were two services, 9:30 and 11:30. I went to the 11:30. For as Kari can vouch for this, I am not an early riser. I went to the service. I enjoyed it. They talked about things that I cared about. And as I talked to people, I realized that they believe like I believe, which is that everybody's belief is valid, even the belief of non-belief. So I came a third time, and that's when I was finally converted over to Unitarian Universalism. So I went up to here, and I said, I want to sign the book and become a member. And they said, you can't yet. That's what I said, huh? And they said, you have to talk to the minister first. I said, okay. So I made an appointment to talk with Katie. It lasted about, 45 minutes. And I finally said, do I qualify now? She said, you'll be just fine. So that week, I signed the book and became a member. And for the longest time, I was content. But then I started being discontent. And the reason why is I wasn't doing anything. I was getting the benefits of the service. I was paying my annual tithe, my weekly tithe, which I should. But that was it. That bothered me. So finally I came up to somebody, and I don't remember who it was. I said, I would like to help out. What can I do? And they said, great, you're on the worship committee. My first thought was, great, I'm on the worship committee. Second thought was, what's a commercial committee? So they said the meeting was on the third Thursday. Just show up about 7 to 7:15. So I did. And I saw what the worship committee does, and it surprised me. Because here we are setting up all the lessons with all the speakers and all the musicians, and we were doing it as a committee. See, that was different. In my wife's church, they just do it by rotation. Everybody takes a turn, and when each turn comes up, everybody in the group does different things. Like 1 week, somebody will do flowers, and next week they'll help set up the communion, stuff like that. So one day they asked, do you want to be a worship associate? I said, sure, what's the worst that could happen? Well, other than the chalice leaving soot that kept your hands black, and everything went fine. And we were talking about stuff, and finally someone came up to me and said, I've heard your story. Could you tell it to the congregation? I said, sure. I mean, how many people find a religion through the Internet? But basically, not a lot. Well, that's my story. From a 7-year-old at a boring church to standing in front of you speaking. After the service, please come talk to me. I'll have a conversation with anybody. And I'm perfectly willing to discuss our points of difference. And if we don't convert each other, we can agree to disagree agreeably. Yeah. Now, if you want to talk to me, please come to me. There's one thing I'm not very good at, and that's joining a conversation. Which is probably because I used to join conversations and they used to tell me, butt out, it's private. So I don't quite butt in anymore. But I will be happy to discuss anything with you you'd like. I'll be here till about 12:15 today, and then I'm leaving to see my niece, who I haven't seen in 8 years. So, but anyway, that's my story. Thank you for listening. Yay. Thank you.